Okay, welcome back. Just give everybody 1 second to settle back into your seats. Thank you for reassembling in timely fashion so we can stay on schedule with this packed program. We're now going to move on to another one of the major themes of the day, both of the day and, in fact, this moment in time in children's publishing, which is the rethinking of the role that publishers play in originating and exploiting intellectual property, not just for printed or book form, but across a variety of platforms and markets. So our first look into that theme comes from Eric Wang, whose title, Publishing Director of Media and Entertainment for Penguin UK, sounds a lot more traditional than his job description in action. So here to tell us more about how he sees the expanding role of the publisher in the new media age is Eric. Thank you.
Hello, so I'm Eric, and I look after IP acquisition at Penguin Children's in the UK. And what this means is that I'm involved in projects that are, I suppose, about more than just the books that we publish, be they digital or physical, and where the focus is on story and world, that we build characters, stories, and worlds rather than format. So when I first started at Penguin, I looked after and still look after our licensed publishing business. And this means tie-in books behind big media brands from TV, from film, from the world of gaming, and also toys. And I suppose because, you know, our authors were these big entertainment companies, our team sort of naturally started thinking about brand over format first. So, you know, in sort of the traditional licensed publishing model, a typical licensed publishing program would look something like this. This is obviously behind a toy brand. It'd be loads of different books. We create stories where stories didn't exist and work with our partners to expand their worlds. But the types of programs that I and my team work on now look a bit more like this, where publishing is still at the core. But aside from the books, our favorite format are other storytelling formats, including consumer products and also film. And I think the way we approach TV. So the way we approach film and TV these days, I think, is a bit different from the way publishers in general would have done so in the past, where it was always about selling an option. And when you sell an option, you're sort of at arm's length from the process and the business and the creativity, although there are still approvals. But what we've done specifically with Peter Rabbit, which is the first of these types of projects that we started several years ago now, is that we're also a co-development partner, which means that we fund significantly the production budget, but we're also really, really involved in the creative steps of making TV, as well as in the business side as well, learning more about sales, about the market, and about what it means to tell a story on a screen rather than on a page. So what I want to do is I have a few examples of projects that I actually haven't launched yet. They're all in various stages of being published in development or in production or even just being negotiated. But in doing so, to kind of touch on 3 points about the collaboration between companies and people that really weren't possible and we wouldn't have even thought about it 3 years ago, our focus on story rather than format, which I think is critical to kind of think becoming a producer rather than just a publisher, and also about business models, the way we partner with authors, agents, or people with great ideas. So the first example I have is a picture book brand called Edmund and Cecily. Now, Edmund and Cecily, it's a fairy tale brand that we're launching as an app first. It's highly animated, but it's going to be first and foremost a reading experience. And Edmund and Cecily is about a dragon named Edmund and his best friend, little girl named Cecily. So once upon a time, a storytelling dragon fell asleep in a field. As he slept through the years, a forest grew up around him, each of the trees taking up one of his stories into its branches and leaves. So when you download the app, and it'll probably be free, you get one introductory story, which again will be highly animated, but still be a reading experience. So we don't want it to look or feel like a book at all, per se. And after that story, which introduces you to the characters and to the world, you'll sort of be left in the storytelling forest with all the trees, and you can kind of explore that. And every tree has a story in it that if you tap on it, you kind of go into the tree and experience a story with Edmund and Cecily. And that's the part, we think, which will have a price tag on it. So the thing with Edmund and Cecily that's interesting is that this is the first project where, you know, we thought about it as a picture book brand. We're in discussions with a broadcaster and also a production company. And the interesting thing is that it's the first time that we actually had to think about trademark. I think as a book publisher, you know, when you think about book titles, trademark isn't as important as, say, if you have ambitions for consumer products or film. So Edmund and Cecily is not the original title of this brand. I can't even remember what the first one was, but it went through sort of 20 different titles because even just a Google search or talking to our lawyers, and it's a new set of lawyers who come from the entertainment world. We've just found that actually the name is very important, that we will not be able to expand our story beyond books if the trademarks are owned by someone else. And that's something we never thought about. Emma Necessity is also brought to you by what I think of as a new breed of author. It's Chris Mould, who's a published picture book illustrator and also a writer for kids. Matt Howarth is his best friend, who's a developer and animator. And I think, you know, in the olden days, when you think about a picture book brand or a picture book, the deliverables from the authors would be, you know, copy, obviously a story, and also artwork, which could be, you know, paintings, paper engineering, photography, etc. But these days, the deliverables, especially when it comes to digital publishing, is also code. It's animation. And, you know, and if you look at an app or animation that doesn't have music, it's a little bit weird. So now you also need composed score. And so these are a new breed of authors that we're finding in from the world of TV, from gaming, and also from music that we would have never engaged it with before. Planet Bots is another brand. It just so happens that we're also launching this digitally as well. And with Planet Bots, we're going to launch it as a game, as an app game. And the story is set in, it's 2226. And humans, we've populated every inhabitable planet in the galaxy. And as you all know, the most exciting planet, but also the most dangerous, is Planet Bots. And that's where kids send their robots to battle for their planet's honor, for their family honor. Because the more battles you win, the more credits you earn. The more credits you earn, the more stuff you can buy for your robots to make them bigger, better, and stronger. So we're really seeing this as a sort of a Western in outer space. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the show Firefly from Joss Whedon, but it's very much part of the inspiration. It's for boys, kind of 6+, 7+. And when the app comes out about 3 months later, we'll also be launching a chapter book series, an illustrated chapter book series, which we'll talk about some of the non-player characters in the game and start forming a world and a narrative behind the game as well. So with Planet Bots, we've involved a broadcaster who's also a production company quite early on who are already on board. And it's been really interesting working with them because TV writers don't really approach story in exactly the same way we do. You know, my experience working with, number one, they tend to write in groups. I don't know how many of you have kind of sat in on a TV writing session where there was like 10 people, mainly men as well, which is very, very different from our world. A group of 10 people who basically just lock themselves in a room full of alcohol, sugar, and caffeine and just say, right, we need 52 stories. And they kind of go through and map it all out. And I think as publishers, when we get a great story idea from, say, let's say an author or an agent, and they say, you know, I have an idea for this, and it's like this, and it goes here and here and here, what we tend to do is say, right, this is the bit that we're going to pull out and focus on. But TV writers will go, well, no, we need 52 of these. So it's kind of this process, and it's really, really interesting working with them. The other thing with Planet Bots is that we've also partnered with a toy company who actually see that this has a big potential to be rolled out to be a collectible toy line. It's sort of like a blind bag sort of toy line a la Lego or Pokemon type of thing in the day as well. And in so doing, it means that, you know, if these deals go ahead and we're in negotiations now, it will mean giving up part of the IP and sharing it, which is something that we would have never done in the past. However, a broadcaster and also a toy company brings so much expertise that we don't have that we're not open to doing this. This is Ollie. Ollie is the boy who became what he ate. So he's 5 years old, and he hates everything. Every time he sits down to a meal, there's always a reason why he can't possibly eat the food that's in front of him because it's going to poison him. Eggs, he hates eggs because they're round. He hates round things. And we all know where eggs come from, so why would you put that back in your mouth? That's gross, right? But when he does, boom, he's transformed into the food he ate, and he has an adventure. So Ollie, like these other projects, this is going to be a book first, and there's an app coming after the book as well, but it'll be a series of picture books. And we've been speaking with broadcasters and toy companies on this. There's one toy company in particular who's really interested in this. But the interesting thing about toys, and also TV to a degree, is that they're much more, sort of, I think, obsessed with gender than we are. I mean, if you go to Toys R Us, it's obvious where, you know, the girls' aisle is all pink and sparkly. The boys' aisle is just full of things that you can use to kill each other with. And the thing is, Ali is obviously, because the lead character is a boy, it's a boys' brand. And so for the broadcaster and also the toy company, they're like, well, it's great that it's a boy brand, but it's set in the kitchen. It's all about food, which is traditionally, stereotypically, very girls. So what they wanted to do was ask us, can you change this for us to come on board? We need you to change it to have vehicles. Can there be explosions? Can there be trains? Can there be... And we're like, yeah, okay, well, let's do it. And so we started rewriting the stories. And after a while, we just realized, these are really bad. It's kind of going away from the charm that Ali had when we first discovered it and it created it with the film company who created it in the beginning. And so I think the thing is, whilst we still have ambitions for Ali being an IP brand, the story is the most important. And if it means not having a consumer products plan or even not having TV because it sort of breaks the rules of this is a boy brand, this is a girl brand, we think so be it, because at heart, you know, we're storytellers like all of you are, and that's, I think, the most important thing. It's just another piece of art. This is Ali and his sister Polly when they unfortunately had to eat broccoli. Gross. Oops. Oh. So this is Whale Trail, which is a game app. It's in the Apple Hall of Fame, which is a really, really, really cool place to be. You know, it's apps like Twitter and Angry Birds on the Hall of Fame. Now, Whale Trail was created by a digital agency called Us2, who based in London, also New York. And I was on the lookout for a picture book brand that felt classic, but not retro, per se, but still was still sort of fresh. And when I saw Whale Trail, I kind of fell in love with the trippy art and just the look and feel of it. So we've partnered with Us2, the digital agency, to be their storytelling partner and also look after their consumer products and also TV and film. And the interesting thing about Whale Trail, again, is that we've been working with games writers. So in the way that TV writers approach story differently than we do, games writers approach story differently as well. And the interesting thing about them is that games writers tend to write really rich and engaging stories that are, generally speaking, tend to only be about what the player will see. And it's not necessarily linear, because in a lot of games, that's called kind of sandbox style, where you can kind of go explore sort of tangents from the main narrative, that'll all be kind of talked about. But if there's a bit that's not part of the game, they just don't care. So one of the things that we started talking about when we first became partners was, wow, what's this whale's name? Like, well, we don't really want to say. I'm like, well, if you want this whale to become an entertainment character, it has to have a name. The name is Willow. And I was like, oh, Willow is but a boy or a girl? And they're like, oh, that doesn't really matter. Like, you kind of have to just kind of, you know, be brave and just decide. And so, like, I'm happy to out Willow as a boy. and so we launched the first book that we launched was an enhanced EPUB that came out in December. And again, we're in discussions with a broadcaster, negotiations with a broadcaster to take this to TV. And the interesting thing about this business model is that, you know, we're partnering with a digital agency. And their business model, being from a digital agency, isn't about, you know, let's make something to make revenue. They're all about, you know, having money come in first to fund the project, but, you know, generally speaking, overcharging a bit to actually fund their overhead as well. So, and what they're doing in terms of the TV and also our bigger ambitions for story and also consumer products is actually going out to get brand partners, which is just what they do. And it's interesting for us because I think as publishers, I mean, my first knee-jerk response was like, ooh, you can't do that, that's so commercial, right? But maybe that is the reason to do that. So working with them is actually teaching us a lot because they, you know, they're producers as well, but they're digital producers and they're coming from an agency model where brand is so important. So we're learning loads from them on Whale Trail. Oops. Hattie B is another example of a brand where you know, this is being conceived of for where we're launching the first book this summer. And it's a chapter book series for girls, obviously. And Hattie B, she works at a veterinary clinic for magical creatures. And each book, it's sort of series fiction, is about a different creature that she heals and the kind of adventure she has. But we've been working very, very closely with a broadcaster whose writers have been helping us with the books. And something that we kind of decided with Hattie B after, you know, many sort of discussions and arguments even, is that we decided that we didn't want the TV episodes to be exactly like the books. The TV guys want the brand to be younger. We want it to be a little older, sort of 8+, 9+. They wanted it to be the top end of preschool because that's where it sells more and there's also more consumer products potential for that. But, you know, we really were sort of obsessed with the idea that they had to be exactly the same. But then we realized, well, why? Because really, with any big brand, if you're really conceiving of it as a, transmedia sort of brand, why should different iterations, different formats simply be adaptations of the other? Couldn't this sort of be like one story world where the book tells this bit, the TV will tell this bit, and the online world will tell this bit? So everything that we do in the TV episodes and the books will be complementary, but actually be quite different, although there'll be no kind of confusion with the consumer that when you see it, you'll know right away, oh, this is Hattie B, and because the books are going first, it's all about, oh, this is that cool book series that I saw. And last but not least is Night Zookeeper, and this is just an example of something where this is the first web production that we're entering in with a company that's making a virtual world for the top end of preschool. You basically create your own zoo in it, but it's a night zoo, so the animals have special powers and are a bit different from the day zoos that we're all familiar with. So TV is something that we've been doing with reasonable amount of success, touch wood, and this will be the first web production that we're entering in. And it's, again, just about being able to tell stories across different platforms. So just in summary, I think I get asked a lot, really, is this what a publisher should be doing? It's really great what you're doing, Eric, playing with TV people, but do you still make real books? And I would say, well, yes, I do, but I have to say that what I'm really interested in, though, is the stuff that I don't know. And I think it is the role of the publisher to tell stories in our favorite format, the book, the ebook, probably uncontroversially on apps on tablet devices and touch devices as well. And by extension, anywhere where kids engage with story and reading, which is games as well. And not to say that every game we would publish, something like Tetris is great, but there's no story. That game wouldn't come from Penguin. Film and TV, absolutely. And I would say, too, that it's definitely the role of the publisher, especially the children's publisher, to create the tools that, inspire kids, that make them imagine and play and think about stories and tell them back to us. Thank you.